Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Good day to you, whether you're in Worcester here in South Africa, or in Ottawa in Canada, or anywhere else in the world. I am Tony Coppell, and my wife Laurianne is here with me in the CWCP studio. Welcome to this broadcast, and for us it's pretty special because today is the 6th month anniversary of our arrival in South Africa. And has the time flown? I can't believe it. We've been pretty busy, and I think that's why time flies. Certainly not a moment's boredom, which is all I ask. So, because it's a special day and a special broadcast, we have a very special guest, and somebody who has actually been very helpful to us during our time here. His name is Arno Pienaar, and he is the Vice Director of YWAM Worcester, that's Youth with a Mission Worcester. It was Arno who recommended that we meet certain people that he was aware of who are associated with YWAM, although we are not YWAM people, we're IRIS. And we did meet those people, and we've been working with them, assisting with their ministries ever since. He helps to run a very important component of Worcester life, and it was an honor to me that he agreed to meet for this interview. Before Laurianne and I arrived in Worcester, we had heard of Arno. I didn't know his other name, but he was well known and recommended by people that we had met then 5 months ago when we first arrived. So I made a beeline for Arno, and I discovered that he was the Vice Director of YWAM here in Worcester. And today, finally, I'm sitting with him with a microphone. And I'm going to start with something that always fascinates me when I'm talking to Christian leaders. Tell us how you were converted to Christianity, Arno.
Well, good morning, Tony, and greetings to our audience, and thank you for this opportunity. It's always a privilege to be able to share some of my life and what God has been doing in and through my life over the years. My conversion experience actually started at a very young age. I grew up in a Christian environment, in a Christian family, and was going to a spirit-filled church from a young age. And so at a very young age, I already gave my life to the Lord, and I committed my life to the Lord. But I would say my life-changing experience happened when I was about 13 years old, when somebody introduced me to the Holy Spirit, or they invited me and said, would I like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and then speaking in tongues? And, I don't think I really knew much about it at that stage, but I said, yes, I wanted it. I mean, that was the environment I was growing up in. And I can still clearly remember them inviting me to a back room in the church. Actually, there were two of us, and for some reason I always remember this, that there were two of us, and they took me aside, and they started just asking God and for the Holy Spirit, and immediately I started speaking in tongues. You know, I was so surprised, and it was actually a wonderful experience just to go through that. And I always think back of it because the person next to me, they also prayed for him, but for some reason he didn't get it, you know. And I was always wondering, so why did I get it so easily? It was always a question in my mind. But I can honestly say from that moment onwards, my life started changing. Specifically, you know, God dealing with my personality. I had a lot of anger and a lot of, actually, I was quite maybe violent is not the correct word, but I used to be a fighter. They used to, in school, you know, if they needed somebody to fight, they would come and call me and say, hey, would you come and help us with this? And today when I share that with my friends and with the people at YWAM, they can't believe that. They say, is that true? And I always have to say, you know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what God did in my life. And he totally changed me over the years. And even my personality, he changed and gave me, I think the scripture is clear where it says, it takes that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. And I can honestly say that is what God did with me over the years. And I would say from there, my journey started. I as a teenager, I had years where I backslid. I mean, I unfortunately listened to the lies of the enemy, and there was a stage in my life where I thought it would be better to hang out, you know, with in the clubs and in the world and do all those kind of things. And I had a season of going through that, but God in his faithfulness drew me back. And at the age of about 22, I went into full-time ministry.
Thank you. One thing we discovered here in Worcester is that just about everybody that you meet knows about YWAM. I suspect that if I were talking to a beggar on the street, they probably would know about YWAM. How do you see YWAM's role here in Worcester?
Well, our heart has always been to serve the community and to be a vessel that God could work through, to be a blessing and to equip and really to build up in our local community. So in the one hand, our motto is to be a gateway to Africa and the world. But at the same time, we also give the opportunity for many people from around the world to come and serve in missions in South Africa. And most of the people that come has a heart to see the local community equipped and being blessed and actually to develop into everything that God has for them. And so people come with their different giftings, and then they have opportunity to go into the community and ask God, where can they serve? Where can they be a blessing? And how can they help the people from the community to really find their God-given calling and help them develop into what God has for them.
So you can look back quite a few years now. I'd like you to do so, Arno, and tell me some of the effects, the beneficial effects that you see here in Worcester as a result of this YWAM base being here.
Well, maybe I can go a little bit back in history and just give you a short summary of the history of YWAM in Worcester. You know, we were invited into this area by two beautiful or wonderful ladies from the community, Tani Marie de Toy, as we fondly call her, and Charlotte Cass. And they were two ladies from the community that started praying for Worcester and the surrounding areas in the late 70s. And then they started inviting YWAM teams to come to this area. And so outreach teams started to minister in the community, initially reaching out to the colored community on the farms in a great degree. And then that one thing led to another. And then in 1986, the first Youth of the Mission base was established in this area, specifically out on one of the farms in the Scherpenheuvel district. And the specific focus of that base was, again, was to reach out to the colored community. And they did that by establishing several preschools on farms and then also reaching out to the young people and empowering the young people. And because of that, we had a number of colored young people come into YWAM. And today we see many of those that have moved on and become leaders in our organization. And we've actually seen beautiful testimonies of those young people going out into the world. Some of them are today well-known international speakers traveling weekly, I would say, to different countries all over the world and preaching the gospel, teaching and equipping people. And so that was the initial focus of YWAM. It was then called YWAM Boerland. And that went then on to develop into different training schools. And then in the early 90s, we realized that the property that God had given us there out on the farm was becoming too small. And, you know, we could feel the Spirit leading us into a time of expansion. And we started looking into town, and we saw the old hospital, the initial first hospital that was in Worcester, that was by that time abandoned, but that was was in the center of town, and we started looking into that. But at that stage, the doors didn't go open. We felt it wasn't the right timing, but we did feel God say that he's giving us this property, but it's the timing isn't right yet. And about five years later, the doors opened up. Things just fell into place. We got the property at a good price, you know, and it was just God's timing. And we moved to town, and that just placed us in the center of the community, which then again changed our whole ministry. And I think mainly because we became much more centralized, many more people got to know about us. And from there on, we started to expand and grow into several ministries that is today working in the community. But at the same time, we've always had a heart to welcome the nations. And we were just looking at it the other day. Somebody was saying that over the years, we've hosted 91 different nations on our facility here in Worcester and seen them going through training. Some of them stayed behind and started working in the community. Some of them gone back to their own countries. Some of them has started mission bases in other parts of the world. And we also have the privilege to this year send out our missions teams, our school missions team, to the 47th and 48th country that we will be reaching out to. And so over the years, we've seen God develop not only the training side, because one of our main focuses is training, to see people being equipped. But then why do we want to see them equipped? So that they can go out and be a blessing to the community, not only locally, but also then throughout South Africa, and then in Africa and internationally into the world.
Now, in case people might assume from what you've said that you are training people on DTSs and so on who have come to this country from other countries, but you are also fulfilling an important role allowing local people here from townships to come on your training courses.
Yes, that is very, very much our heart, is to see the local community, the people from the townships, to really see them equipped and to go out and to reach their potential, their destiny that God has had for them. And part of that, what's actually been happening lately in the last couple of years is God has been leading us to also accredit our training that we're getting. You know, we are part of the University of the Nations, which is an international university, but has not been really recognized in South Africa as an accredited training organization. And so we've been going into that process. And when that is completed, then people will also be able to use the credits that they get from our training to go, for instance, to another university and just build on that and be equipped and be empowered. So our heart is really to see the young people being empowered, equipped, but then most of all to go out and reach the destiny that God has really placed in each one of their hearts, you know. And, you know, if we can just create an environment where people can feel loved and safe and really have the opportunity to develop into what God has for them, to have a safe opportunity where they can hear from God and really, you know, get to know what God has placed in them and what he has equipped them, what he has called them for, then I think then we are fulfilling the calling that God has placed on us as an organization here in Worcester.
We're listening here to Arno Pienaar, the Vice Director at YWAM in Worcester, and I'm having a lot of fun just engaging with his brain. And I want to go a little deeper into the relationship that YWAM has with the colored and possibly the black community here in Worcester. We have a number of townships here and very needy people. I know some of these people who've been on your courses, and I see huge changes from what their lives would have been before. Can you expand on that a little bit more? Because I'm sure it's part of your main vision.
It is, and that's one of our great joys, is to see the young people come. And you know, what's happened and what's so wonderful is God sends us people from all over the world that's got a heart for South Africa, and then they come and they establish ministries working in the different townships. And so we've got ministries happening in Roodeval, in Avian Park, in different areas in the town. And often these ministries would be people working with young people, you know, with teenagers or even children. And so what's happened over the years, if we've seen some of these children go through the ministries, then get involved with a teenage ministry, and then at the moment even, we've got some of those young people that have then joined us. They've come to do a discipleship training school. They've been equipped there. Some of them have gone on to do other schools. And some of them have said, no, well, we want to be a voluntary worker with you now for a season. And I think part of that, being a voluntary worker with us, they have the opportunity to then start to give what God has built into their lives. But just being in the environment, in the YM environment, also creates an atmosphere where they can continue to grow. You know, because many people don't often, right from the start, know exactly what is it, what does God want to do through my life. But as they get the opportunity to serve in different areas and they get exposed to other YWAMers from across the world, you know, they get into conversations and they start to say, oh, well, maybe this is the area that I should start focusing on. And then the beautiful thing of that is we've not only seen some of those people go back into our own communities, but some of them become missionaries, actually. They go into other parts of the world, you know, and they go and serve there. And, yeah, it's just beautiful to see people being able to fulfill their destiny in that way. And actually, you know, if you hear some of the stories where people have come from, the environment they've come from, often there's been violence, there's been abuse of different substances, you know. And then to see God take them out of that environment and just change their life, and actually not only just work in them, but also use them to be a blessing to others. I think that is just all glory to Jesus, right? And that is what he does. And that is what he's done with our lives, I believe, as well, what he's done with my life. And that's what we want to see happen even more in the future.
I don't know if you'll know the answer to this question, but of the 54, I believe it is, countries in Africa, which of those are sending missionaries out into the world today?
It is a difficult question to answer. I know YWAM is working in many countries in Africa, but traditionally, as you may know, Africa has always seen itself more as a continent that has received missionaries. But I think that is part of our heart and our calling, is that God is busy changing that. And there's been many prophecies and words that have gone out that has said that we're going to see many Africans going out into the mission field. And we've already seen that. If I just, again, just look at South Africa, apart from us, that is one of the bases, YWAM bases, we've got another 16 other YWAM bases throughout South Africa. And even many of them can testify how God has raised up Africans, you know, to go out into, back into Europe. You know, some of them go to Europe, some of them go to South America, some of them go to North America. They go into different parts of the world. And I think we're just at the start of that. We're going to see much more of that. It's difficult to really put numbers to that. And I don't really know how many, if you look in Africa, how many of those are sending out. You know, I don't have those figures with me. But I know it's not that many. But I do think it's in the process of growth, you know. There's a new awakening happening in Africa. And I believe Africa is going to become, and specifically South Africa, one of the major sending nations, you know, of missionaries into the world.
Well, I know you have Nigerians here doing wonderful work.
Yes.
And by the way, a demographic prediction that I heard of a couple of years ago suggests that in another 45, 50 years, Africa will be the number one economic power in the world.
Wow.
And probably South Africa and Nigeria will be top two nations.
Wow.
There's a little bit of trivia for you, but you're part of that.
Yes, that's exciting. And we're looking forward to that, you know. And, you know, just another bit of interesting information is, I don't know if you have heard about Lauren Cunningham, which is the founder of Youth of the Mission International. And some years back, he felt God speak to him about five nations that are going to become one of the major mission sending nations in the world. And there were a few countries like Korea and Brazil where we've already seen them become one of the major mission sending countries, or some of the major sending countries. And interesting enough, one of the other countries that he really felt God lay in his heart at that stage, at that same moment, was South Africa, you know. And so we've got an expectation. I believe we're in the beginning stages of that. And there's much more that God is going to want to do, and it's still going to do through South Africa. But I do believe there is a calling on South Africa, and specifically Africa as well, to go back into the nations, you know, and to really spread the word of God. And if you think of the interesting facts about Worcester specifically, where the Andrew Murray revival started here in the 1800s, it sometimes feels to me like this is the same well that God is just opening up again, you know. And we have the privilege to be able to build on some of the foundations that was laid in those years, and to allow God to then send out Africans into the world.
Arno, I think you've probably answered my next and my last question, but is there anything more that you can add to the vision that you see for YWAM Worcester over the next 10, 20 years?
Well, I think our heart would really be to continue to be an organization, a missions base where young people will be able to come to be equipped. Do you know, sometimes we also need healing, and where people can come and be healed maybe of past hurts, but then more than that, to be able to be equipped into their destiny, like I've said before, and really to find out what is the calling on their lives, to know this is what God's called, this is the destiny and the plans that God has for my life. And then for us to be able to play a role and to help them to be equipped. I think our major callings is training, and that's really to prepare and to equip people, but then also to send out people. You know, we just don't want people to come here and just be trained for the sake of being trained, but we really want them to go back into the community. Some, I believe, and I think even many would go back into South Africa, and you know, and wherever they go and work, maybe whatever job it might be, what sphere of society God will place them in that sphere. My hope and my prayer and my trust is that they will make an impact for God, you know, and hopefully in doing that, eventually we will be able to influence all the spheres of society, and we'll see young people going out with a zeal for God and establishing God's kingdom wherever they go.
My guest today has been Arno Pienaar, and I'd like to thank Arno very, very much.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God through encouragement. My name is Laurie Ann, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During my last broadcast, we discovered the joy of learning Scripture. Since the Holy Spirit inspired the human writers of the Bible, He still speaks through the words to us. Sometimes the words were specific to the people of that age. Other times, certain verses apply to us personally. But we can always learn about God's people through both the Old Testament and the New. Scripture encourages us when we are in difficult times. We need that encouragement, whether it's from the Bible, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, and through certain people that God sends our way. Encouragement is a spiritual service gift mentioned in Romans 12, verse 8. The Apostle Paul tells us, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Encouragement means to exhort, comfort, counsel, or help. It also means to offer thanks or appreciation and to cheer someone on. Unfortunately, the world doesn't have enough encouragers. Most people are critical or they complain. But is that actually helpful? Complaining is different than stating a fact and then moving on. Complaining and criticism actually tear down rather than to build up. One of my former pastors was named Dale. He used to say that encouragement is the oxygen of life, and so it is. When we encourage with love, words, and action, we positively impact the people around us. When we encourage in love, we change the atmosphere and God can bless others through us. And they just may bless us back. Smiles can really encourage people. I've been told many times that my smile blesses people. It disarms shyness and breaks down barriers. I've had this happen in church, divine appointments, and on the mission field. It's the same with calling people by name. They feel noticed. Tony and I feel so strongly about encouragement that we changed the regular wedding vows. Tony did not say he would love, honor, and cherish me. I did not say that I would love, honor, and obey him. Instead, we chose to bless each other with the same promise, to love, honor, and encourage. We took that further and promised to always forgive and to always strengthen each other. Through 19 years, we have worked to do that. Sometimes it's been easy, and other times, a little more difficult. Yet always, there is love. Always, there is encouragement that comes from the Holy Spirit. Choosing to encourage is a commitment. When you choose to encourage daily, it affects your spouse, your friends, and all those around you. Tony and I are called to underprivileged children. Some of them are latchkey kids, others are orphans, and yet others have parents, but they still need all the love and encouragement they can get. It's a real blessing to pour this kind of love into people. And really, it doesn't cost you anything. It's kindness. It's one of the love languages that make people thrive. Encouragement and kindness are linked together. Kindness can take many forms. Some of these acts of kindness are practical deeds. Sometimes they are called random acts of kindness. This can be going out into the community and helping a senior clean their home or garden. Or perhaps to provide a sandwich and a glass of juice to a child. It could be taking a disabled friend to go do their grocery shopping. In a sense, this is not just something that missionaries do. We can all do this. We have opportunities to be kind every day. Every day. Okay, so you've had your eyes open to human kindness, which is everywhere. It's not exclusive to Christians. There isn't just darkness and evil around, although there is a lot of that. But think of God's kindness. Think of how he encourages us with love, joy, and peace in our hearts. He opens our hearts to more. When we act and live in this compassion, we grow the fruit of the Spirit, kindness. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. It is the exact opposite to a lot of the evil in the world. In fact, we even have a friend who is named after two of these fruits. His name is Lovejoy. Love and joy. And that's exactly his personality. It's fantastic to know him. We are also encouraged in Colossians 3, verse 12, to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These aren't something that we can grow on our own. We need to keep spending time asking to be filled with these things, even patience. However, kindness and encouragement are a lot more fun to grow in than patience. So what are some other ways to grow this gift? It happens with practice. Also, when we continue to encourage, we can also receive some back. Remember, what you sow, you also reap. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Galatians 6, verse 7. If you sow kindness, you reap kindness. Patricia King once told a story that she was led to give away many of her clothes. She did this time and again. Each time she did this, she was given more clothes. That's just a side benefit. But basically, if you're sowing blessings, you will reap blessings. If you sow curses, even if they seem to be deserved curses, guess what comes back your way? Better to stop the cursing right now. There's way too much of that around. Remember what Paul says to us in Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. So here are some ideas to grow that gift of encouragement in your own life. Write someone a letter. Visit a sick person in the hospital or hospice. Pat someone on the shoulder or back. Sit with someone who has just lost a family member. Listen to someone who is struggling. Ask God what to say, or even if you're not meant to speak. Sometimes encouragement is not saying anything at all, but just to be there with someone, especially if they're grieving. Here's a good example of encouragement. A young girl known as Little Annie was locked up in a mental institution outside Boston in the U.S. Doctors saw her as hopelessly insane. Yet an old nurse felt compassion and kindness for Annie. In time, she responded to the nurse's attention and her regular gift of brownies. Eventually, Annie was completely changed and she wanted to give back to the other patients. Annie became Anne Sullivan, the woman who loved and encouraged Helen Keller. Through Anne's encouragement through the years, Helen blossomed, despite being both blind and deaf in the years before the cochlear implants. Encouragement is indeed the oxygen of life, as the words used also nourish our souls deep within. Choose to bless someone with encouraging words or actions today. Once you make this a habit, it will become a wonderful lifestyle. We were created to love. We are created to grow in love. So choose to be kind and encourage, even when you don't feel like it. Here's a small example of my own. When I still lived in Ottawa, I had two shows on CKCU, a community radio station. One is a Christian show called Over My Head, where we would play music from artists from a Christian worldview. This could be music of any genre, from contemporary classical to jazz to blues to folk. This show still exists, and we intend on returning to it in the future. The other show was Window of Opportunity, a folk show. I was given this show in 2002 by local folk legend Dean Verger. Our mandate would be especially to encourage up-and-coming folk musicians. Some were local, and others were from further away. One afternoon, two musicians played live in our studio, Shane and Lynn. Shane is a bluesy folk artist who was accompanied by his then-girlfriend, Lynn. Lynn was and is a great musician in her own right. She has a warm, clear voice and a light touch on the acoustic guitar. I was given insight during my interview with them, and I encouraged Lynn right on the spot. I asked her, "What about your own music, Lynn? I believe you have wonderful potential." Lynn had a pained expression on her face, and unfortunately, I can't remember what she said. However, she needed to hear my encouragement. She in time released her first solo CD, Things I Miss. This was the first of many CDs to come. She wrote me a lovely note in the thanks section of that CD liner. She said she gave thanks to Laurie Ann for saying the right thing just when I most needed to hear it. While I made a point of encouraging all the artists who I had on the show, it was even more special when what I said made a turnaround for Lynn. And what a turnaround it was. Not only is Lynn an amazing singer-songwriter, but she also pairs with Lynn Miles as part of the two Lynns. So please, please, never underestimate the power of encouragement. And when you are the one to encourage, it blesses you back. Think of all the people who need encouragement right now. Too often, people work or minister for years and never know how well they are doing. They get no positive feedback, and eventually, if they make a mistake, they only receive criticism. So please, encourage the people around you. Like Lynn, this just may be the moment that they need it the most. Lord Jesus, I lift up my friends who are hearing my voice. I ask that you enlarge their hearts. Also, please enlarge mine. Give us the promptings to be kind and to encourage at just the right time. Thank you for how I could encourage Lynn. Please give all who are listening the special opportunity to bless and to encourage someone. Let it become something that will catch on as they pay it forward. In Jesus' name. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
Troubles come and my heart burdened be, that I am still and wake in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand.
can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
And that was Mercy Me with I Can Only Imagine. And the film of that name opens in theaters here in South Africa on May the 11th, after a huge success in North America. And before Mercy Me, you heard Josh Groba with You Raise Me Up. And this was a recording with an African children's choir. So that's not the official recording, but we thought it was very appropriate to play today. Instead of Laurianne's normal rain song and train song segment, today we're going to do something a little different, but the rain and the train will be back next week. If you've been listening for a long time, you may remember that one of the things I'm doing here in Worcester is teaching music to a small Christian school with children the ages sort of 8 to 10. And my method of teaching music is a little unconventional. I'm very keen that they, for the rest of their lives, will get a lot of enjoyment from music. To me, that's more important than learning to play an instrument, although I am teaching them to play instruments. So in this 12th week, I wanted them to appreciate that music is used for a number of things apart from just sitting and enjoying it. And one of those is for political and protest and nationalistic purposes. So I selected about 30 songs that would come into that, most of them protest songs, and played them to the boys, or played parts of them to the boys. And we discussed what the song was trying to say, what its agenda was. I've collected 30 seconds of each song on a soundscape that I'm about to play you. So you might have fun seeing if you can identify the singers and the songs. And I will be posting the list up on the CWCP Radio Facebook page so you can see how well you did. We start off with a piece of music that was used by the British government during the Second World War before announcements on radio. And what's interesting about this one is that the rhythm of the tune is Morse code for the word V, which of course everybody knew stood for victory. And in a recent science lesson, which I also teach, I'd introduced them to the Morse code, so it was timely.
My land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
And the most important verse was the one they made up in Montgomery, Alabama. Said, we are not afraid. There's a lot of people in this world, they know what's right and what's wrong. They're not going to do anything about it. Somebody has to be willing to sing, we are not afraid.
We are not afraid.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war. What's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way.
September 77, Port Elizabeth. as usual, in police room 619. Oh, because.
Twin soldiers and Nixon's coming, we're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming for dead in Ohio. Gotta get down to it, soldiers are cutting us down. Should have been done.
Oh, I am just a student, sir, and only want to learn. But it's hard to read through the rising smoke from the books that you like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise, and I'd like to make a vow, that when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now.
Show me the prison, show me the jail, show me the prisoner.
Spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking, how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow, snap back.
When one voice rules the nation, just because she's top of the pile, doesn't mean her vision is the clearest. The voices of the people are falling on deaf ears. Our politicians all become careerists.
Dead, wiped out in their sleep as they were lying in their bed, wiped out of existence like so many are each day. This
if your thoughts might be impure, while the generals fly the Air Force all the way across the ocean.
And here's to the schools of Mississippi, where they're teaching all the children that they don't have to care. All the rudiments of hatred are present everywhere. In every single classroom is a factory of despair. And there's nobody learning such a foreign word as fair. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Mississippi, find yourself another country to be part of.
Larger congregations are a prize that they can win. Well, here's to the faith you're part of the heart of. Go and find yourself another sinner to be part of.
Because everyone can't believe it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because everyone didn't see it doesn't make it untrue. Because everyone hurts doesn't make it stop. Because after 25 some years they'll have forgotten your names. That doesn't mean you never existed. Doesn't mean you never existed.
What about sunrise? What about rain? What about all the things that you said we were to gain? What about killing feels? Is there a time? What about all the things that you said was yours and mine?
Angels, cortege rhythm of falling timber. What kind of currency grows in these new deserts, these brand new floodplains?
Is in complete lockdown right now.
Use it, build all the planes.
Fire bigger, spare private vehicle bombs.
Use it, build the big bombs.
Do we remember those who protect us?
Use it, hide behind walls.
The father who leaves his home.
Use it, hide behind death.
The friend who gives his life.
I just want you to know I
ain't a marching anymore.
Husband who becomes a warrior. Do we remember what they have given for our freedom and the freedom of others? They fight against injustice and guard against terror. They are the watchmen. Let us not forget them.
For we can't bomb it into peace. Yeah.
People like me.
To say that I am stressing out. I'm stationed in Iraq and they won't let me out. My homie said I was stupid for even joining. My counselor said my decision was disappointing. How she had good slates for good state colleges, and with my good grades it wouldn't have been a problem. But they don't understand just the power of significance, more than brilliance and certainly more than dividends. And if you ask me now, would I repeat
it?
Sentenina,
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 sentenina.
I know the last song by Michael Franti, Everyone Deserves Music, is not a protest song. It's more an encouragement song. But it's something that's very close to my heart. I believe that so much. And this brings us to the end of today's Worcester Reports, except, of course, for play-out music, which comes from Bethel Without Words and is wonderful for soaking. And soaking is something we've been doing a bit of in this last week. Worcester Christian Church has started a once-a-month soaking prayer session put on by the Street Ministry Group, and I've been asked to lead that, although Lorianne is the brains behind it for sure, because she has been engaging in soaking prayer for years. So we wish you well, wherever you may be, and whatever's going on in your lives, and look forward to having you as our listeners a week from now on the Worcester Reports. This is Tony signing off.
Copples Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.